Talk. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Here's a long three from Pat Connaughton. He says, anything you can do, I can do better. Takes about four more steps back and connects on what will be a 30-footer for the Bucks from the near wing.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
Now attacks. He'll put up the shot off balance and misses. The rebound to Portis. He goes running off the other direction with 6 seconds to go. Now to Connaughton. Gallops down the lane. Floats it up with the right hand. No good, but Portis taps it in at the buzzer.
Now here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
Yeah!
Well, you go from one extreme to the next, as we just had two straight playoff-type feel games, two straight statement games by Giannis, especially in his, well, it may not be his quest, but we'll do it for him, his chase for a third MVP award. And then you go to tonight, where we may have even touched on this on Bucks Talk last night. After the game, you got the sense. It's night two of a back-to-back. There are two back-to-backs remaining this season. And I think a couple of days ago we mentioned, look, it remains to be seen how the Bucks will treat this back-to-back. I think the next one, next week, where it's home against the Celtics on Thursday, Friday in Detroit against the Pistons, I would assume that Friday game against the Pistons is going to be treated the same way this game was. But you got the strong feeling last night there would be no Giannis and probably Drew Holiday. I wondered about Brooke Lopez and Chris Middleton, but then around noon today, we saw the Bucks make the announcement of the players out today. Those four all out. And as the game unfolded, players not on the injury report and not inactive, but did not play, Wesley Matthews and Grayson Allen. So this was a bench game for the Bucks. There are not a whole lot of takeaways here. An incredible month of March. You're going to massage the schedule as much as you can heading into the postseason, even though with the structure of the play-in tournament, we know you get more time off. You essentially get a week off now with the invention of that play-in tournament. They're going to wrap up the season next Sunday on the road, and their first playoff game will be at home. Well, we assume it'll be at home, and it'll either be Saturday or Sunday. So you're going to get some rest there. But I think the important part for the Bucks now are the remaining big games. And on paper, Sunday is a big game against Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks. Next Thursday is the biggest of those remaining games this season, with the Bucks hosting the Boston Celtics. It's a game that may decide who's second, who's third, who's fourth in the Eastern Conference. It may decide who finishes ahead of the other team between the Bucks and the Boston Celtics. It'll likely decide that, given the previous matchups between these two teams. But we're going to continue to look ahead to these final few games here in the final few days of this regular season. I mentioned it on the network portion of the post-game show. The next 2 days are pretty big in the Eastern Conference when you look at teams in action and where they are in the standings. There are no games across the league on Monday, as they give that spotlight to the NCAA. Final Four tomorrow. The NCAA championship is on Monday, so the NBA takes the day off. But these next few days here, Saturday and Sunday, tomorrow, and it starts early, an 11:30 tip in Philadelphia, where the 76ers host the Charlotte Hornets. That is an important game for both teams, for Philadelphia and their quest, if they want it, to move up to first or second in the East, and for the Charlotte Hornets to potentially move out of the play-in tournament. Speaking of that, the Cleveland Cavaliers are in New York to take on the Knicks at noon tomorrow. And then, as we get into the night, two other big games. 6:30 in Atlanta, the Hawks and the Brooklyn Nets. This game will likely decide who finishes ahead of the other team, as the Atlanta Hawks will take the tiebreaker with this win against the Brooklyn Nets, and then the Miami Heat and the Chicago Bulls. So that is a game the Bucks will have their eye on tomorrow, as they are idle. So Saturday is full of big games, four Eastern Conference games, and only one of the teams in those four games is out of the postseason. On Sunday, the Celtics play The Cavs play the Sixers. The Heat play the Raptors. And, of course, the Bucks play the Dallas Mavericks. So, again, you have four of those teams at or near the top of the Eastern Conference, and all four of those teams in the top four, the Cavs and the Toronto Raptors. So you have six of the top seven teams in the East all in action on Sunday, and big matchups tomorrow. This is the biggest remaining weekend on the calendar, even bigger when you look at the matchups than next weekend, which, hard to believe, is already the final week of the regular season. 855-616-1620 is the AccuNet Mortgage talk and text line. That is the number to get in touch with us tonight on Bucks Talk. I do want to revisit some of what Giannis did last night, becoming the all-time leading scorer in Bucks franchise history. You've heard a little more discourse as well on the MVP debate. How much of the needle did Giannis move with that performance? Is it still Nikola Jokic's award to win? Or Ken games on Sunday, we assume he'll play Sunday against the Mavs. And, of course, the biggest one, Thursday against the Boston Celtics. Is it safe to say Thursday could determine whether or not Giannis is the MVP this season? But the number to get in touch with us is 855-616-1620. That is the AccuNet Mortgage talk and text line. It's a disappointing loss for the Bucks, but not all is lost, as only the Boston Celtics, among those teams you were chasing or neck and neck with, the Celtics were the only team in action tonight, and they narrowly got past the Indiana Pacers. So for the Bucks, rest is going to be imperative. We're going to see this at least one more time this season. But overall, in 11-3 month of March, a truly incredible performance this team put together over the course of those 31 days. And I mentioned, toughest schedule that any team played in the month of March, that was the Bucks. Things are a lot different in the month of April. We'll look at that and start to handicap the race for the number one spot in the Eastern Conference after this on the BMO Bucks Radio Net, on the Bucks, on Bucks Talk. Jeez, Bucks Talk here. We're going to continue to recap the race for the number one seed and Giannis's quest for the MVP. Plenty to get to yet on the show after this.
This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Back to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
It's Mann trying to send an entry pass inside to Zubats. He turns around, tries to flip it up, but can't get it to go as he leaves it short from a foot away. Portis is trying to hold his ground. Now Carter driving the other way. Hands off to Mamu. Mamu's falling out of bounds, but saves it. Gets it into Wara, and Wara locks and loads on a three-pointer that he'll hit from the right side.
Jordan Wara scores 28 points tonight, a new season high. Career high came in basically a similar game last year in the regular season finale against the Chicago Bulls, where Jordan Wara scored 34, and the Bucks played to win, knowing we win this game, we need the Brooklyn Nets to lose. And if we win and they lose, ironically enough, I believe it was the Cleveland Cavaliers the Nets played in their finale last year, but we win, they lose, we're the 2 seed. If we win and the Nets win, we're the 3 seed, and that means we get the Miami Heat. But as we all know by now, the Bucks put it to a vote in the locker room, and everyone decided. It was unanimous. No, we play to win. We go into the playoffs on a hot streak here. We go into the playoffs playing our best basketball. We play to win. And maybe Brooklyn loses, then we're the 2 seed. But you know what? If they don't, we're not afraid. And we don't want to start to duck teams. And we saw what they did for them last year. Now, there is some discussion to be had on that. I do want to get to that in a moment, but the number to get in touch with us, we're not focusing on this game because, quite frankly, there are no focal points from tonight's game. We're looking ahead to the final few games here of the regular season and to this race, not even for the one spot, 1, 2, 3, 4, who finishes there in the Eastern Conference. And, of course, the week that Giannis put together, you're starting to see Giannis's name continue to creep upward a little bit more in that MVP discussion. So I do want to spend some time talking about those things and the way the Bucks handled their business last year. And a very similar conversation you're hearing a lot of people have right now about the Brooklyn Nets. I think there's some important takeaways that we saw from a season ago. But the number to get in touch with us is 855-616-1620. Mentioned the MVP tracker, courtesy of Basketball Reference on last night's show. As of right now, Giannis has continued to narrow that gap between himself and Nikola Jokic. At one point, Nikola Jokic was around a 45% chance to win this award. Giannis was around 25%. I think when we checked in yesterday, it was 42% for Nikola Jokic. Giannis was 26%. After yesterday's performance, and again, still a ways to go, and I think this is a good barometer to show you how things are going to go in that race. But after yesterday's performance, Nikola Jokic dropped slightly down to 41% probability to win the MVP. Giannis went from that 26% to 29%. So it's basically 10 percentage points that are separating those two. 70% chance it's either Giannis or Nikola Jokic that wins the award. And we talked about this quite a bit on yesterday's show. I think the latest straw poll that was released just the other day by Tim Bontemps of ESPN, the results that you saw there, of the 100 voters, Giannis only had 9 first-place votes for MVP. But when you look at the difference and you look at how differently things have progressed since the first and second straw polls, I think the big takeaways are it's Nikola Jokic that's going to win this award. And if not, it's because Giannis puts together another strong week next week and he catches Jokic. But I think those results basically told you Joel Embiid is out of the race for this thing. So it's going to be one of those two guys, Giannis or Jokic. Now, Brandon, producing the show tonight, you texted me during the break something very interesting. I want to get to that in just a second, but let me ask you this first. So even after I just read Basketball Reference has the odds out here, Jokic 41%, Giannis 29%. Who do you think is going to win the MVP this season?
Yeah, it's funny you are asking me this right now because I'm actually in a group chat with a couple of my buddies and we're discussing it as well and where each player currently sits. There's a non-Bucks fan in our group chat. He's actually a Dallas Mavericks fan. He tells me he's put money on it already. He is penning in Giannis to walk away with the award, but I told him I don't see it happening. Now, if you ask me, Justin, and you probably know this by now that I'm a diehard Bucks fan, he should win it because no player in the NBA, maybe the NBA, probably the NBA, but at least in the race that you're currently talking about, and obviously Jokic and Embiid, there's no player currently that impacts this team the way Giannis does on both ends of the court. Now, Nikola Jokic, he makes some cool passes, no look, and Embiid is falling away and flopping over the court and hitting fadeaway shots, but no player in the NBA currently in the MVP race, really in the entire NBA, impacts his team the way that Giannis does, and we saw it against Philadelphia on primetime, TNT game, I believe it was a TNT game, but blocking the shot of Joel Embiid, which would have beat the Milwaukee Bucks with that shot. So again, you saw it last night too, step back three to tie the game. He sinks the two free throws in overtime. He's offensively, he's a monster. Defensively, he's just on another stratosphere. He's a better facilitator than people give him credit for. I think he's just over 6 assists per game. But it should be Giannis, but I agree with you. I think it's going to be Jokic. But, if you're a Bucks fan, you want those awards. You want that hardware. You want it for Giannis, but you want the other MVP, Justin, that comes at the end of the year.
I think we're pretty aligned here, but would you be more surprised if Giannis won it or if Joel Embiid won it? Because, look, at this straw poll that we keep referencing, these are the 100 voters, the people that will be voting for the MVP. And in the straw poll, it's been the same way all season. Giannis has been behind both Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic, and the most recent one was, I think, Monday, is when Tim Bontemps asked everyone for their vote, and they still had Joel Embiid ahead of Giannis, but it does seem like, even in the last 2 days, there's been this groundswell of support of, yeah, but we do also have to keep an eye on what Giannis does to close out the season here.
Yeah, and I last night, actually, I think was kind of an eye-opener. Obviously, that game was nationally televised. It goes to overtime. Kevin Durant versus Giannis, literally, at the last few possessions going at each other. And I think, let's be honest. Let's call it what it is, Justin. Not a lot of people are tuning into Milwaukee Bucks games. I know they just won the NBA championship last year and doing so in dramatic fashion, winning four in a row against the Phoenix Suns, but not many people are tuning in to Milwaukee Bucks games. They don't have nationally televised games every other day where it seems like these other teams and all these other markets are having these games, even though they're out of the playoff picture. So when you do get a Milwaukee Bucks game on a nationally televised station against another primetime player in Kevin Durant and in Kyrie Irving, and Giannis obviously elevates his game to what he did to last night, it raises the bar in asking the question, is Giannis really the MVP? Because as great as the guy in Denver is, I mean, they're currently at, what, the sixth seed right now, as it was yesterday, I believe. You know, Embiid is kind of going in and out. They lost to Detroit last night on a weird game, and obviously Giannis beat Philadelphia on Tuesday. Chris Broussard, who is a MVP voter, talked about it this morning on his talk show that he actually changed his vote, or he's going to change his vote, or his vote currently is changed to Giannis taking the award over, I believe he said, Nikola Jokic. I believe that was his number two. So these last few games for Giannis have obviously impacted the voters. I would be more surprised, to answer your question, I would be more surprised if Giannis wins the award out of all three of them. I think for the most part of the season, it's been the narrative has been around Joel Embiid. He's never won the award. He's always been one of the top players in the National Basketball Association. It's time. He's finally got rid of Ben Simmons. He's got James Harden. They're the number one seed, or at least they were for a good portion of the season. Same thing with Jokic. He doesn't have Jamal Murray in Denver recovering from the ACL injury. He's got him in playoff contention. And then all of a sudden, meanwhile, Giannis is just maintaining. As of last night, he was tied with LeBron James for the scoring title with a few games to play at 30.1. They saw the block on Tuesday. They see the overtime performance, the game tying three as time was going down to expire against the Nets last night as well. And I think they're kind of realizing, this is still that dude that beat the Phoenix Suns four times in a row on a bad knee that probably would have ended, most people's playoff season right there.
Seasons, yeah.
And I think they're just starting to realize, this guy is, he's won two MVPs. He's won a finals MVP. Jrue Holiday talked about it last night, Justin. He could win the most value, or not most valuable, well, he could, but most improved player award this year. As crazy as that sounds, I mean, you could make the argument. I mean, his percentages on free throws and field goal percentage and his three-point percentage have all dramatically gone up as opposed to where they were last year. But I would honestly be shocked if Giannis did win it. Now, the late push could give him more recency bias. Voters are, stuck in their head on where, most recently what's happening, and I think that's where Joel Embiid is kind of falling. He had 37 the other night, and it seemed like nobody batted an eye to it, and it was just kind of whatever. So I really do think it comes down to Jokic and Giannis, but I would be more surprised if Giannis wins it.
It's interesting. At this point, I'd be more surprised if Embiid wins it because, number one, I think team success is going to be taken into account. And, your point, too, about the Nuggets, they are currently sixth in the West. But they're only two games back of third. They could still finish as high as three, and that is, to me, even if they finish fifth or sixth, it's a testament to Nikola Jokic, because you could make a case before the James Harden trade, it wasn't a great supporting cast around Joel Embiid, and I think that's what's most impressive about what he's done this season is he was beginning here in the early going. He was dealt a bad hand. Where it was, okay, you anticipated there was going to be a trade made and they were going to do something with Ben Simmons, and it just kind of festered and lingered and you kept waiting, like the old meme of you're nudging something of, come on, wake up and do something already. You were waiting for the Ben Simmons deal and it never came. and you start to look around at that Philadelphia roster, and you start to see the performances that Joel Embiid was putting up, and everybody started to notice, I would say, around Christmas and into January of, man, he is playing incredible right now. And the way that this roster is currently constructed, they're not good enough to win a championship. So you got to do something to help him, because you can't waste this type of performance. And I think that's when Joel Embiid's push for the MVP and the narrative behind it, I think that's when it really peaked. And then they made the trade for James Harden. A very polarizing move, and James Harden certainly a very polarizing player with a lot of the media. But that initially I thought would detract from Joel Embiid's MVP case, because you assume James Harden statistically was going to take away some of what Joel Embiid was doing. Instead, we saw the opposite. He just played even better, but the supporting cast, I mean, they had to decimate that team with the trade. Seth Curry was a huge loss. Andre Drummond was a huge loss for him, that they just traded away all these pieces that they really needed there around him. And because of that, they've really struggled in those minutes that those two players are not on the floor. And we've seen Doc Rivers really hesitant to stagger the two of them. So you've seen Philadelphia kind of slide a little bit since that trade. But, you know, also you pointed to the loss to the Pistons. I think that's the other thing that you talk about. James Harden is a guy that is polarizing. But let's be clear here. The Sixers, of all those teams we named, the Heat, the Bucks, the Celtics, the Sixers, the four teams that are chasing for the one seed, the Sixers are the team that wants it the least. They do not want any part of the two seed, and because of that, they don't want to mess around and push for the one seed and then somehow just fall short and get the two seed, knowing if you finish second, I feel pretty confident in saying if you finish second, you're getting the Brooklyn Nets in the first round. Philadelphia wants no part of that, so I think they are more than fine with finishing third, even fourth, honestly, in the Eastern Conference may be your best bet if the Bulls finish fifth. And I think some voters are going to hold that against the 76ers, especially if the Bucks continue to climb and the Bucks end up winning the East. When we mentioned it on the show last week, the Bucks had been in first place in the Eastern Conference, I think, 2 days all season. And now all of a sudden they can go from being an afterthought and everybody asking what's wrong with the Bucks, and everybody in the national media saying, don't worry, they're going to come on strong. And Ben Golliver, Andrew Sharp, Tim Bontemp, Zach Lowe, a handful of these guys all said, you know, I'm not so concerned about the Bucks because they're going to start to play better here. And they all said, well, all right, maybe now I am a little concerned, because you anticipated February or January, somewhere around then, you'd see him start to play better. We just had to wait until March. So if all of a sudden the Bucks come on strong and finish first in the East, and Philadelphia tries to game the system here and says we're cool with three, and Giannis and Embiid's numbers are basically identical offensively, Giannis has been better defensively this season, I think that pushes Giannis ahead of Joel Embiid. And I think what we've seen in this last week, the other point you brought up, I think in this last week, Giannis had two games that all the eyeballs were on. And it's one thing to score 45 points against the Pistons or the Cavs, or even a game like tonight. If Giannis played and you put up 40 against a Clippers team where nobody is playing, it's like, yeah, Giannis got 40 points, great, but I didn't watch the game. And, you know, nobody nationally is going to be watching this game. He had two games this week that every single national media member had their eyeballs on. They were national games. And he dominated and was clearly the best player on the floor in those two games. And the best player on the floor on both ends of the floor with one of those two games against one of those three guys in that race for the MVP. I think that and the standings and what the Bucks have done, that is what's really starting to swing things here. And it was Jokic, Embiid, Giannis at this straw poll. I think if Tim Bontemps surveyed the 100 voters again on Monday, and this is assuming we see Giannis on Sunday and he does basically what he's been averaging. You get another, oh, by the way, 30-point game from Giannis and they beat Luka and the Mavs. If you put out that same poll and said, okay, I need you guys to do this one more time, I think at the very least, Giannis is coming in second behind Nikola Jokic.
I agree with that. But I the biggest thing I have with this whole thing, and I think it's been an ongoing debate, really, is what is the definition of the MVP award? Now, we know what MVP stands for. You know, we know what it is, but for the longest time, I mean, to go
so
back.
What is it to you?
To me, what it stands for, you know, valuable player. What does a player who wins that award, what does he bring to his team? Now, sure, you can have 30, you can average 30 and 10. That's great. What do you do on the other side of the court? And that's where Giannis separates himself from his peers. I don't think there's another player, maybe outside of Drew Holiday, that is a better two-way player at their position like Giannis is. And Giannis is, I think, the best two-way player in the NBA. Justin, we're talking about a guy that's probably going to win the scoring title. If he doesn't, he's going to be in the top two, if he doesn't win. And he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year. If I had to define valuable to a team, a guy that can score, he's more efficient scorer than Kevin Durant per minute. He scores more efficiently than, quote-unquote, the greatest scorer of our generation. And, oh, by the way, he's about to win his second Defensive Player of the Year award. He probably should have won it over Gobert a few years ago anyway. Should have another one. But, I mean,
I don't know about that. Now, if you would have asked me 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, yes. I think he was clearly winning the Defensive Player of the Year. He is at least in the conversation, but that has become fascinating as well, where now, you know, we talk about these three guys are clearly it for the MVP race, and three guys that too far and away have been the best in the league. The Defensive Player of the Year award it's kind of similar to that, where Rudy Gobert is always going to be in the mix, but I think there's been a lot of backlash and fatigue on Rudy Gobert just because, you know, right or wrong, and whether or not it's unfair, at some point when you talk about all these accolades and, you know, if Giannis wins it twice and Rudy Gobert, the amount of times, I think this would be four that he's won the Defensive Player of the Year award, maybe five. You know, at some point you start to rack up all these accolades, and to be honest, I think it's the one thing so far that's being held against Giannis. People, the voters, start to hold that against you and say, look, if I do this and if I give this to you one more time, it puts you into this category. And I think that was the biggest thing Giannis was facing, where if he wins the MVP one more time, he becomes one of, we ran through the names last night, I think it's seven or eight players in league history that have won the MVP award three times or more, and they're the all-time greats. It's Magic Johnson and Larry Bird and Michael Jordan and Wilt and Bill Russell. Giannis is in that group if he wins the MVP award again. So he needed to win the championship. He needed to do what he did in that closeout game against the Suns, and he did that. And now this season, he's doing all of that much more consistently. Like you referenced, what he did last night against the Nets, the shot that forced overtime, a defensive play that we're not talking about enough to basically force overtime after that shot, and then the game-winning free throws. He's continued to do things like this, and I think now Giannis has basically absolved himself of, you can't be in this group because of winning a championship. With Nikola Jokic, if he wins the MVP award this season, that's it. Like, you got to win a championship now before we can give this award to you, and that is definitely how he's going to be viewed. Rudy Gobert, I think, is getting that treatment now for the Defensive Player of the Year award, but in that category, Rudy Gobert is getting mentioned. Giannis is getting mentioned. Marcus Smart is getting mentioned. Robert Williams was getting mentioned before that. Mikal Bridges and what he's done with the Phoenix Suns.
Bam Adebayo.
He's in the group. Bam Adebayo, yeah. I mean, you have a handful of guys. And I believe Bam Adebayo is actually the betting favorite right now to win that award. So, you know, you asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have said, yes, Giannis is definitely going to win the Defensive Player of the Year award. Probably not winning the MVP. But now who knows? And it's really, really fascinating to think it's flipped to the point that Giannis probably has a better chance of winning the MVP this year than he does winning the Defensive Player of the Year.
So let me spin it around and ask you a question here. Is it voter fatigue or is it market? Because if you look at efficiency, you look at numbers, you look at your eye test, you watch, you know, with your eyes on TV or at the game, and you see – as great as Bam Adebayo is, he's not doing much on the perimeter, right? I mean, he can, but he's not going to, not a whole lot. Marcus Smart, I have thoughts and feelings towards him, but he's okay. I mean,
he's been really good defensively.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. They've been on a tear too,
and they've been the
lately.
Best defensive team in the league for the last 3 months. Yeah.
But I mean, at one point, I mean, you saw the guy put up 50. He hit 17 out of 19 free throws in a game six. Maybe the best clinching performance in an NBA Finals, maybe in any kind of clinching game we've ever seen. And all he has done is elevate his game. And Eric Name had a great piece in the Athletic where he mentioned that knee injury. No, I think it was Eric Name. Might have been somebody else. It was at the Athletic, though, where one more hyperextension and that knee was that ACL was gone. I mean, and to see what he did with that. And now you're watching him this year, Justin, and it looks like a dude that has, well, he has all the confidence in the world, and as he should, but a guy that has elevated this game to where he's won two MVPs. He's won a Defensive Player of the Year. He's won an NBA Finals. He's won an NBA Finals MVP. But, oh, by the way, he looks better now than he has when he's won all those other accolades. I mean, at one point, what does a guy have to do? Shaq mentioned it last night on the broadcast. He said, one day we'll mention Giannis as the best player in the league. Why? Why are we waiting? He is that dude. He impacts the game offensively and defensively more than anybody in the National Basketball Association. And I am a biased 100% Bucks fan, but I'll tell you like it is. He's clearly impacting the game for his team more than any one of these other guys are. And I don't necessarily believe it's close.
So now we have that cleared up. So you took the night off to watch the TNT broadcast and to not listen to the radio broadcast in Buckstock. When you say fatigue, do you mean with all of it or with the MVP award specifically?
I think with the MVP award specifically, because you talk about a guy that, look, let's just call it, like, again, let's call it what it is. Like, the NBA doesn't want their best player, their number one player, their best overall player to play in the third or fourth.
Don't say it. Don't.
But you know it's true, though. Like, it is.
See, I don't know that it's that.
I think it is.
There was a little bit of fatigue, but I really think a majority of it is exclusivity, that it's an exclusive club. Like, if we're going to continue to bestow these honors on you, you got to be welcomed into this club. And we know Magic and Kareem and Wilt and Bill Russell, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, Shaq, Kobe Bryant, LeBron, these are the greatest players of all time. These are in the top 15. We're not ready to put you there yet, but when Giannis wins a championship, when Giannis already had that pedigree with the two-time MVP, an MVP and Defensive Player of the Year award in the same season, what, four straight unanimous first-team All-NBAs that he will reach this season, he's already well on his way. And now when you've seen him play the way he has in these big games, I think that was the biggest obstacle. And I think he's winning a championship basically knocks down that wall. And now, okay, now we can envision putting you in this group. You just got to continue to play like this. So, look, if the Bucks go on another deep playoff run, even if they fall short of winning a championship but reach the finals one more time, Giannis is in that group. I mean, Giannis is already in that group. We know that. But Giannis is welcomed into that group unanimously by all of that group that is the, you know, group responsible for handing out those awards. So you got to get there one more time and continue to do what he's doing. I think that's the biggest hurdle right now is if we give you another MVP and if we make you another player that – man, he won MVP X amount of times. He won Defensive Player of the Year X amount of times. You join that category of all those names that we mentioned. And, you know, it's just like the argument. I can see both sides of it. It's just like the argument for the Hall of Fame of basketball specifically. You think of the names that get in there because it's the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. It's not the NBA. But, you know, NFL, we have this discussion every year where it's, is this guy really a Hall of Famer? And it starts to become the Hall of Good, and you want to preserve. No, it means something to be in this group, and I think that's the biggest issue, especially when, let's be honest, most of those guys in the 100 that vote, guys and women, most of that group that votes for the MVP and all the other awards, they're around the age where they grew up watching most of those names that I just mentioned. So they're going to be protective in that sense, too, of I don't know if you're in this group yet. So I think that's the biggest thing right now that Giannis is going up against. And again, if it does go to Nikola Jokic this season, Nikola Jokic is the next one to deal with that, where it's you got to win, you got to win championships, and you got to continue to do this. Like, we cannot continue to give you the MVP award and make you a first team All-NBA center if you're going to lose in the second round of the playoffs every year.
Well, and that's the thing that I, you know, you got to ask yourself this, though. Like, and we've talked about what each one of these players does, and yeah, Jokic has he's right behind where Giannis was a few years ago, especially in a mid-market. I don't know what Philly would be. I don't know where they're at it with, as far as Embiid, but Embiid just can't. He's got to get out of the second round before we can even discuss. You know, Jokic at least has been to the conference finals. But if you're watching this, and before we cut to a break, is Giannis better than those two other players? Is he more valuable? Yes. Than those other two players? If the answer is yes, then why isn't a walk-away MVP award for him? And I'm going to tell you right now, real quick, because if he was in New York, if he was in L.A., maybe Chicago, Miami, you're laughing, but you know I'm right. It wouldn't be a conversation. It would not be a conversation. Wow. So it would be because, I mean, these guys that have votes, Stephen A. has said it. Chris Broussard has said it. They frown upon Milwaukee. You know, we all know what happened last year and last summer with Stephen A. Smith dogging Milwaukee. I mean, it's unfortunately the reality. It is. It comes with it, and we'll take it. And that's why we get defensive over these players and over our teams. But it's the reality of the situation. It is. If Giannis is anywhere else, dominating the way he is, the award would have been given to him in February.
So we figured out your corner. You're the market guy. When we return, you brought it up. It's really fascinating. I want to get to that discussion of what is the MVP to you? Because in my mind, I have what the MVP is. You just gave me your definition of it. I think it's across the board. But based on what you think the award should be, you could make a case. There's three different guys. You could see each of those three players winning the award. I want to get to that after this. What defines an MVP? We'll get into it next.
You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Into the front court. It's a pass to the far side, and it's intercepted by Connaughton. He has a long outlet feed. Carter's ahead of the defense, and he'll flip that one off the window and good as he had a couple oncoming defenders trying to chase him down, but Carter with the presence to lay it in. Javon Carter now 11 points. He's been good with 8 assists.
And a near double-double, 8 assists. His career high for assists is 9, which he had with the Suns last year. In the only game he's had a double-double in his career, because he pulled down 10 boards. So he missed a triple-double by just 1 assist in that game. You thought he was going to get a double-double tonight. You thought a lot of things were going to happen tonight, but we just did not see it as the Bucks lose to the Clippers here at Fiserv Forum. The MVP discussion, and I mentioned the race for the standings. We're going to save that for Sunday because we're going to know a lot more by the time this game goes final, with the big games that we have, 4 of them tomorrow, and the Bucks are a handful of big games on Sunday's slate of games. So I do want to get to that on Sunday's show, but I want to go back to what we were talking about in this MVP race. And I asked you, Brandon, who or what your definition for MVP was, and it seems like you're the guy that goes by textbook definition of most valuable. That's what I take, because I think there's a handful of people, if you say, who's most valuable in terms of the importance with their team, or you could go with the best player in the league. I tend to lean towards best player in the league, even though that's not, you know, by definition what the award is. Now, we also have to be honest with ourselves that I may say that's, all along I've said best player in the league. When Giannis won the award, Giannis was not the best player in the league. And it's the same discussion that I think Philadelphia fans are having to have with themselves, because Joel Embiid is not the best player in the league, and Joel Embiid still has some flaws and some things he needs to improve. It's the same spot Giannis was at 2 years ago, and Giannis did that. It's tough to look inside yourself and see I'm not there yet, but I think Joel Embiid knows it, and we've seen him come to the defense of Giannis recently here. But I go with best. If I say who's the best player in the league, it's Giannis or Kevin Durant. If you say who's the most valuable to me, that's Nikola Jokic, when you look at the impact he's had on both ends of the floor. And believe it or not, the Nuggets' defense is better when Nikola Jokic is on the floor versus off. So that's where I kind of fall of why this has to be a best-in-the-league award.
Yeah, and I that's just – you could put – would you put LeBron up there this year?
No.
Because, well, he's one of the best, though, right? I mean, yeah. I agree with you.
But where are the Lakers? I mean, yeah, I know he's missed games, but
right.
Even with LeBron on the floor, they haven't been good.
And then I'm assuming for Ja Morant, it takes away for his case because he's, 19-2 without him on the floor?
Well, and that's just a really good team, too. Right.
But I think that's what's kind of at times hurting Giannis as well. You know, people look at his supporting cast and...
Yeah, you know, he's got Chris and he's got Drew.
Yeah, he's got an established coaching staff. He Darvin Ham should probably be a head coach. He probably will be next year.
Charles
Lee's in there, in the system that he's been able to thrive in offensively and defensively. Even though offensively, sometimes not everything is drawn up for him, and he's still out there getting his. But I used to be like that with the best player, and then Giannis fell to us, and now I look at it from my Bucks sunglasses on, and I look at it, and I just look at who impacts their team more, who is more valuable to that team. We saw when Giannis hasn't played, but Drew and Chris have played, and the Bucks got ran off the court. I believe it was Minnesota, if I'm not mistaken.
Aaron Rodgers is returning to Green Bay for another...
Vice versa. Chris wasn't on the floor, and the Chicago Bulls come to the Pfizer. Giannis plays, and they blow the Bulls out, by 20 or 30, whatever it was. The impact is plus or minus, and I know Jokic's player efficiency rating is sky high. He's probably going to break another one of his own records, but to me, it's rather simple, and I just look at it like if Giannis was playing on another team, and I'm a non-biased fan. I'm looking at it. And I watch the guy. And the other thing, though, Justin, I just don't think people watch the Bucks a lot. If you're not a Bucks fan, if you're a casual NBA fan and you want to watch what's on Tuesday night or Thursday night on TNT, you're not going to see the Bucks. I mean, they haven't had a whole lot of nationally televised games this year as defending champions.
Yeah.
So I think plays into it because there's just not enough eyes that are non-casuals. Everybody that's a normal NBA fan that watches their team day in and day out, they know what Giannis is and what where he stands in the NBA. But a casual fan, and you saw the reaction last night on Twitter. If you are on Twitter and you were scrolling, people that aren't basketball fans were commenting and talking about Giannis.
Yeah, and to that point, then there's probably not a whole lot of people that are watching Nikola Jokic and Nuggets games either. But this is something that's going to continue to rage on here for the next week. So I have a feeling we are going to continue to revisit this topic in the next couple of games here. But we get back to big, meaningful games on Sunday when the Bucks welcome Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks here to Fiserv Forum. Make note of the tip time. It is a noon start. 11:30 is when our radio network broadcast begins, the Bucks and the Mavericks. And there is no Bucks talk on Sunday as we go right into the Milwaukee Brewers. So no Bucks talk Sunday after the Bucks and the Mavs. But again, it's an early start here in Milwaukee against Luka and the Mavericks. My thanks to all of you for hanging out for the last hour, and Brandon for producing the show. Again, the MVP discussion is not going away, nor is the race for the one seed in the Eastern Conference. We will get to that the next time we meet here on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.